Praise God. That's who we ought to bring it to. Somebody say amen. Good to be here tonight. Turn to Luke chapter number 1, please. Luke chapter number 1. I've been tossing 3 or 4 or 5 sermons out around, and the Holy Ghost said, do that one. And I'm just going to obey him. Amen. How many believe you're saved? Know you're saved? Raise your hand. How many glad you're saved? Wave at me. Amen. How many of you got something to rejoice about?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm about to get happy. I know what I'm going to preach on. I just want to encourage you a little tonight. And I like to see you get some joy in your life. Get some happiness. I tell you, if you're saved, you ought to be the most joyful person in the world. Turn to Luke chapter number 1, verse 46 through 56. The background of the story, I'm going to give it to you kind of quickly. The angel of the Lord comes to Mary and tells her that she is going to have a child, the Christ child. And this is not a Christmas message tonight, but I want to give you that background. And she was afraid. How many of you ever been afraid? She was afraid. She looked at him and she said, hey, I'm no man. That's really what she said. How can I have a baby and I'm a virgin? Boy, I'm not going to preach on the virgin birth, but aren't you glad that God's word is true, that there was a virgin lady called Mary who God, through the Holy Ghost, conceived in her the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to praise him tonight. And then she goes to Elizabeth's house, and Elizabeth's already pregnant. And told her the news. And y'all know what happened, don't you? I almost like preach on that too. I tell you what happened. John the Baptist had a shouting spell in the womb. Now, I am not going to chase this rabbit very far, but I am going to chase it a little bit. We're living in a generation or a country that believes the people that's in the womb is just a matter or something that you could just let go for 9 months, and if you don't like it, you can just kill it then. Well, I want you to know John the Baptist kind of proves it's more than a matter. He was in there shouting about the birth of the Lord Jesus because he was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. Somebody help me preach. And by the way, I have not watched the Democratic Convention. If you have, you ought not be left alone by yourself. That's a bunch of nutheads. Their platform says to kill babies. Their platform says, let's promote a homosexual agenda. Their platform says, let's go towards socialism. And I want to be honest with you. If there's one reason I wouldn't vote for that crowd is that they kill babies. And I got a lot of reasons. Hello. What am I doing here? I'm getting off on... I'm getting off. I am right, but I'll be honest with you, that wasn't where I was going, but since I was going, I'll go ahead and say it. But I want you to look and notice, because sometimes, and I want to tell you, I had another message, I ain't going to preach it tonight. Sometimes we let our circumstances rob us of all of our joy. Somebody help me. I know we're living in the middle of a pandemic, but I really believe people done went crazy. I feel safer in here than I sure do at Kroger's. Somebody help me preach. I don't understand it. I really don't. But I want you to know something. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your pressure, you can know and have joy. I'll tell you what God can do. He can turn this trial we're in into a testimony. Somebody say amen. Oh, I'm going to help you tonight. I ain't got long, but I'm going to help you. Let me read these verses, give you 5 thoughts, and I'll be done. And Mary said, after all this going on, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced. And that's what I want you to notice tonight, in God my Savior. Hold a minute. I'm running another rabbit. The Roman Catholics believe Mary never sinned. And they, when we were over in Israel, they had, when we went into Nazareth, we had, it had her stepping on the snake. She ain't stepping on no snake. Because she said herself, I rejoice in God, my Savior. So evidently she knew she was lost and needed a Savior. Whew. That kind of messes up a whole group of people. I ain't praying through Mary. There's one mediator between God and man, and his name is Christ Jesus. Lord have mercy. I'll keep that verse 47. That's my thought tonight. And I'll give it to you in a moment. For he hath regarded me, or regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. Woo! And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud into the imaginations of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Once you look at verse 47, here's her statement. My spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. I want to preach on, from this little passage, what you have to rejoice about. You know what we need to get out of our little stupid, ignorant mood that we're in?
Amen.
This has got to be almost ignorance now. You know what this pandemic done to a lot of our church people? It has stole their joy, kept them in the house. And by the way, I ain't preaching to people with underlying conditions. I'm preaching to people that's healthy. I see them in Kmart. I see them out. And I wonder, how can you go there but not come here?
Preach on.
I can't help it.
You're right about it.
And here's what I'm starting to think. Do they have anything to rejoice about? I want to tell you something. When I got saved, I wanted to be in the house of God. I wanted to be serving God. I got something that made me happy. I've got to tell you, I rejoice in God, my Savior. You said, what in the world are you rejoicing about? I'll give you five things and let you go home. Verse 48, number one, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. Number one, I can rejoice because God regarded me when I was a sinner. Hey, some of you ought to go back to what you used to be and remember where God brought you from. I want you to know I was in the lowest state possible. I was a failure. I was a mess. I was on my way to nowhere. But God came to where I was and didn't worry about my lowest state. But underneath me with everlasting arms came down to where I was and lifted me up out of that pit. You said, I don't have nothing to rejoice about. I sure do. January 31st, 1973, I got saved. was a low down hound. Wasn't worth nothing. And before you start bragging, some of you are just as wicked as I was. The next time you have your pity party, you listen to me live stream, the next time you have your pity party, you ought to remember where God brought you from. Amen. I got to hurry, man. Told me you was long-winded tonight, so I'm hurrying. You did good, son. That's good, Rick. Verse 49, number 2. Woo! For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his name. Number 2, write it down. He rewards me with undeserved blessings. You ever ask this question? Why has he been so good to me? If some of you ever dawned, it ever dawned on you how good God's been to you, you'd probably take a lap around this building and lose your dignity and shout it out. You don't deserve anything God done for you, but he done great things for you anyhow. We ought to all be in hell burning and frying, but he loved us and cared for us. And I want you to know I got more than just a salvation experience. I got some things that's happened to me since I got saved, and God's blessed me and loved on me. And whoa, glory. And you sit back here going, bless me if you can. There ain't no way I can bless you. Your blessing's broke. Whew. Everybody in this room ought to be able to shout right now because God's done great things for you. Whew. Please don't tell me you don't have anything to rejoice in. Look at verse 50. Chad, I'm just leaping over all this. You know what I mean. Look at verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. You say, what is mercy? This ought to make you shout. It's God not giving us what we deserve. Or number 3, he restrains his wrath. Now, come on now, look at me. How many of you know that you deserve God's wrath in some of the lifestyle and some of the things you've done in your Christian life even? And you know what he done, Jeremy? Instead of snatching me out and busting me in the head, he restrained his wrath for me. Instead of me getting what I deserved when I goofed up and you goof up, he restrains his wrath from you. You say, well, I ain't never made no mistake since I've been saved. And you just told the biggest lie in the world. Every one of us is a mistake looking for a place to happen. Every one of us is a failure at best. But aren't you glad that he will glory. He showed us mercy. Aren't you glad he loved us when we were unlovable? And when we should have got punished, when we should have been beaten up in the head, he restrained himself and gave you a second chance. Man, that point right there alone is enough for you to shout about. We've all failed. We failed with our children. We failed in our marriages. We failed at work. We failed serving God. But God, instead of smacking us around when he should have maybe, he said, I'll just hold off on him. I'm going to be patient with him, and I'm going to restrain my wrath from him, and I'm going to show him mercy. All right, verse 51, 53. I got to show you this one because this here helps me right now. Because I'm a tad cynical of what's going on. How many's wondering why this bunch of anarchist, liberal, socialist mess are getting away with what they're doing? I'll give you something else to rejoice about. Woo! Verse 51 through 53. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich had sent away empty away. Number four, I'll tell you why I'm rejoicing. My God's going to reprove this wicked world. Do you think that bunch of liberal socialists that's trying to run this country is going to make it without God's judgment? They ain't going to get theirs. Y'all look at me. They going to get theirs. And boy, I'm rejoicing in it. Now I want to ask you a question. How many's ever pondered this? Why? Good things seem to happen to bad people. And bad things sometimes happen to good people. You ever ponder that? I want y'all to know something. You really haven't looked at the end of the story. Because see, we may have some tough times here, but one of these days we're going up there. And they are going down there. And my God's going to judge that. If you think he ain't going to judge that bunch of liberals killing babies and promoting a homosexual agenda and a socialist, you don't think God's going to judge that mess? Oh, I tell you what, I about died last when I just read. I read news. I ain't watching that junk. When Bill Clinton gets up and says, let me tell you how moral the White House needs to be. The most immoral president in the world. That's when you really need to say, I'm glad God's going to take care of the Bill Clintons of this world. Who in the world is he to say that? But here's the last one. I got a lot to be rejoicing in here. This is just a short little man. I hope it's encouraged you. Look at verse 54 and 55, and I'm done. He hath hoping, and I'd like to teach that word tonight, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And this one right here, Autumn Colton, make you shout. Sean, make you shout. Brother Smith, make you shout. Lois, it even ought to get you shouting. And I don't know if that's possible. I'm kidding. Raise your hand. Number five. You know why I can rejoice? Because he remembers his promises. When I feel like I'm forsaken, I go to his promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When I feel like I don't have enough, I go to his promise. I'll supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Woo! When I feel like I need strength, I go to him that says I can do all things that's through him that strengthens me. Somebody ought to shout right there. I want you to know something. God's promised you something. Here's what he's promised you. He promised to save you if you asked him, and you've done it. And then he promised to keep you saved. Somebody say amen, and he is doing it. And he's promised to take you to heaven one day. And what's good about it, you can go on the first class ticket.
That's good preaching.
I remember you. I remember my promises. Next time one of you young preachers are struggling and wondering if you made a mistake or God made a mistake in calling you, and you wonder, you're in a dry spot. Let me give you something. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God never made no mistake when he called you, and he will take care of you. And I'm going to give you some advice. He's got to try you before he can use you. Somebody help me. Why don't some of you start claiming your promises? Live stream people, claim your promises. Amen. Rejoice in him. Every one of us have things to rejoice about. Bow your head with me. I'm done. I wonder how many can come around the altar tonight, not ask for anything. Just come up here and praise him a little while and rejoice. I just wonder how many just come up and worship him a little bit and praise him a little bit. Stand with me. Just come. There are people come. I mean, sometimes we ought to just get on our knees and say, God, I never thought about all that. Father, touch us. Bless your people as they pray and rejoice and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of them, come on, come on, come on.